Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the fourth perek of Melachim Aleph. This is actually the shortest perek we've ever encountered in Melachim Aleph. Very quick, we'll get through it. It's really actually just a list. So the perek starts off with the statement that Vayish HaMelech Shlomo Melech Al Kol Yisrael. Shlomo is the king over all of Israel. Now that he's the king, the perek tells us who his cabinet are, who his sarim, his ministers are. So it describes who's in charge, who's the kohen. Azariah ben Tzadok is the kohen. Sounds like the son of Tzadok, who is David's kohen. We hear who are the sofrim, the people in charge, the scribes. We hear the mazkir is the secretary for the divrei hayamim, for the annals of history. We hear who is in charge of the army. That's Benayahu ben Yehoiada, who's performed Shlomo's service up till now. And we're told that the Kohanim are Evyasar and Tzadok. Tzadok and Evyasar. And we have a person called Azariah ben Natan, who's on charge of the Nitzavim, the prefects. Okay, so we have a whole list of people, a few other peoples who are the friends of the king, who's in charge of the house, and who's in charge of the taxation. So it gives us Shlomo's entire cabinet over here. The perek then launches into another list of people, into a list of what are called Nitzavim, the prefects of the king. There are 12 prefects, and it seems pretty clear that each one of them would be in charge of the king's finances, in charge of giving the king money, taxation money, for a particular month. There was one from each tribe, and each one was responsible for a month. At the end of this, it describes that there's a netziv echad asher ba'aretz, and there was one netziv, it sounds like, over all of them. And finally, the perek closes in perek chof with the last line, which is Yehuda Yisrael Rabim, Yehuda in the south, and all of Israel are many kachol asher al yom larov. That is like the sand on the sea, that were uncountable, ochlim v'shasim usmeichim, eating, drinking, and merry, and happy. And that's the end of the perek. So we hear about Shlomo's establishment as a king. We hear about who his cabinet is, who his, we'll call it, tax prefects are, and then we hear about how everybody is living a happy life at this point. Very beautiful perek. It's nice to hear the good times in Tanakh. Most of the time, like, things are good. Tanakh is quiet about, is mute about. Here, Tanakh is telling it to us. We should just remember this was a very good time for Israel in terms of Jewish history. A few things to focus on, a few points to ponder as we go through this perek. Number one is, this is the third time that Tanakh is telling us that Melech Shlomo is Melech Al Kol Yisrael, that Shlomo is the Melech on all of Israel. You know, it's very nice, and it maybe is even unusual to have one person who is the Melech on all of Israel. But nonetheless, that's a lot of times to tell us the same thing. So the Malbim points out that, yes, well, each one is in a different context, because each one of them gives us a different reason as to how he actually got his laurels. Number one is said when David anointed him publicly, when David was still alive. Number two was when he killed the enemies of after the king died, Yoav and Shimi, right? And he banished Evyasar. These are all people who had plotted against David HaMelech, and ostensibly would plot against him, and he killed Adoniah, who was trying to make a power grab. And number three is here because we are following his attainment of wisdom. It's interesting because in a certain sense what the Tanakh is telling us is that Shlomo had three accreditations for a king. And each one of these, if you think about leaders in the world today and in past, think about how many of them had only one of these qualifications. You know, here on the one hand is continuation, clear and transparent appointing by the predecessor. The other one is ridding oneself of naysayers. And the other one is because of one's own expressed wisdom. Not always do leaders have all three of them. In fact, most times they don't have them, and some people don't even have one. So it's important that the Tanakh is emphasizing all three qualities that Shlomo has, which makes him a unified king. One point just to notice interestingly over here is if you're focusing on the Kohanim in this perek, Evyasar is mentioned. The problem is that Evyasar, remember, he is the son of Achimelech from Inov Ira Kohanim. He was David Melech's initial Kohen before being replaced by Tzadok. Shlomo Melech banished him, remember? Shlomo Melech actually kicked him out because Evyasar partook in the potential rebellion of Adoniah at the beginning of Melachim Aleph. So what's he doing here? Which leads the Chidah, which leads the Radak to say this must be another Evyasar who is a Kohen. It must be somebody else because Evyasar is the son of Achimelech is banished. We must be referring to another person. Apparently it is a popular name. What is the role of these prefects that we told about, these 12 prefects? It sounds like the Ralbag says they're in charge of tax collection so that in order to make it that there's no burden on the entire community the entire time, each tribe or each area was responsible for taxation for 1 month at a time, and that would be financing the king's palace and the financial needs in that sector. The last prefect that's mentioned at the end in Pasuk Yud Ites is Unitziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz, is one Nitziv, one prefect in the land. There's actually a debate in the Gemara about this in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Be'ezim and Aleph. Rav and Shmuel argue as to whether this prefect was Azariah, who was in charge of all the prefects, so he was the person who was managing, he was like a sort of CFO of the prefects. Or this is referring to a 13th prefect for an Ibur Yar, for a year when there was an extra Adar that was in charge of that extra month, because remember, the Jewish calendar, it does not go based on a regular solar year. Interesting debate, has certain ramifications as to where that extra money was coming from. Nonetheless, last point just to think about, and this is really what pulls this perek into full definition, and that is why are we told that they're so happy now? What was the point of being told that B'nai Yisrael and Yehuda, everybody's eating, drinking, and happy? What's the point of being told this right now in this context? So the Malim says very simple, because we just talked about tax. So the Tanakh is emphasizing that despite the fact that there was high tax, despite the fact that Shlomo just instituted a new tax code, everybody was happy. It wasn't backbreaking. Shlomo Melech understood the balances of society. We're going to see this is going to come up later on when his son Rehoboam doesn't understand that balance later on. So just keep that tuned. That's what Malbim says, why it's mentioned over here. In fact, there's a deeper level which is mentioned. The Bereshis Rabbah, the Midrash in Bereshis, Bamidbar Rabbah, the Midrash in Bamidbar says that why are we likened to sand? Why is it that the nation of Israel likened to sand? Very simply, says the Midrash, because let's say you make a dent in the sand, you dig a hole in the sand, in soft sand in the evening, in the morning, you know, after the winds and after the pressure, the hole fills itself up again. And that's how B'nai Israel are. Remember, at the end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, we had a terrible plague. David HaMelech counted Israel, 70,000 people died. And now the Tanakh is emphasizing, no, don't worry, they're like the sand, they're returning, that hole is being filled. Now this is interesting because what the Chida does is he extrapolates on it and he says the following. The greatest irony is that when David HaMelech wants to quantify, when he wants to count the people, that's what kills the people. That's what, in a certain sense, detracts from the people. Shlomo HaMelech wasn't interested in counting the people. He brought so much more of their mission, of what they're supposed to be doing into life, that when he didn't want to count them, they became uncountable because of their success. And it's a strange dramatic irony over here. What David HaMelech was vying for, ultimately, was what Shlomo attained by not counting them. And that's what the Tanakh is telling us. One question I'd like to throw out and just leave it there for everybody to think about today is, why is it that the terms of success are described in a physical simcha? Why is it that it's achila and shtia, eating and drinking, and simcha on a physical level? Wouldn't we expect this to be on a spiritual level? Why is the Tanakh emphasizing it this way? In the meantime, I'll leave you with that. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.